Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be continuing a message that we began last time from the famous scripture text, Proverbs 3, verse 5. The message is entitled, Trust in the Lord.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
Folks, we've got all the answers right here if we'll get in there and trust His ways. God has told us to work honestly as unto the Lord. Folks, that's just common sense. By the sweat of our brow are we to work. There is nowhere in Scripture that says we're supposed to live off the work of others. There is nowhere in Scripture where it says we're supposed to hope we win the lottery ticket and take our children's milk money and go buy lottery tickets with it. God said you honor Him, read it in Ephesians chapter 6, by working hard unto the Lord. God worked for 6 days and then He rested and said, all my work is done is good. Folks, why should we think that if our God worked for 6 days in the creative process that we're not supposed to work? You understand what the Bible teaches and live it. Work honestly. Number two, ladies and gentlemen, don't get leveraged into debt. We're going to talk about some very practical things here, but I'm going to probably mess this whole thing up. But never mind, you're going to get it anyway. Don't get leveraged into debt. The Bible says that a borrower becomes a slave to a lender. If you haven't ever read Dave Ramsey's book, I would recommend that you do it. The Bible says that we're to be charitable to those in need. It's not the government's job for welfare. Are they supposed to be neglected? No. But here's the policy. If you can't work, you don't eat. If you're capable of working, you go work. If you're not capable of working, then you are taken care of by your family first, by your church second, and by government never in the Scripture. Hey, boy, the government's ways work so well, don't they? You know, government's so much smarter than God. You know, Lyndon Johnson declared war on poverty in 1960, I think 64 or 65. We've now spent $9 trillion in the war on poverty. It's a good thing we've eliminated it. Be faithful to support the Lord's work. Folks, the most important thing that we need to realize, and all of us, and I promise you, every one of us gets sad when we look at our 401k or investment portfolio. But I've got news for you. Every penny of that's going to stay here. Doesn't matter whether you're Aubrey McClendon and you've lost $2 billion in the last month, or whether you're just Joe, hard-working guy, and lost $500 into his investments over the last month. Every penny's going to stay here. But I can tell you how you can get a guaranteed return on your investment. Invest it in the Lord's work. We had a man pull in here the other day. It was really a blessing. He just got done listening. I guess I was preaching. The messages aren't necessarily from the previous week. Dan kind of pulls them out, and we cut intros and exits and put them on the radio. Preached one the other day, had a deal with the tribulation. Had a guy come knock on our back door, came inside, was so excited, he gave us a check for $500 for the radio ministry. Said, my day revolves around 4:30. Be careful, John. Folks, that's a blessing. We're trying to get truth out there. And I tell you what, that $500 he invested in the radio ministry is better than any $500 he ever invested in Enron. Folks, this message is far different than any I've ever preached. But as your shepherd and chief watchdog, it's one that must be preached. Understand that we have eyes, we have a brain, we can recognize the times and the seasons. We can recognize the signs of the times. Jesus scolded the Pharisees, saying, you can recognize when a storm's coming, but you can't recognize the signs of the times. Here I am, the Messiah, promised in Scripture, standing right in your midst, and you don't get it. Paul in his closing verses of his final epistle that he wrote to Timothy. He said at the closing, now by the way, Paul's in prison at this point in time, but in his closing verses he said, Timothy, when you come see me, bring my cloak with you. What was Paul doing? Summertime in Rome, but Paul knew winter was coming. And he called Timothy, said, hey, it's going to get cold here. I know. Would you bring my coat so I can be prepared for winter? Folks, that's just some good biblical common sense. Joseph was down in captivity in Egypt, and he was smart enough to recognize that Almighty God had provided them with some warnings that a famine was coming. And Joseph led Egypt in preparing for that famine. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not asleep. We are not in darkness. We have eyes. We have a brain. We should recognize the signs of the times. And this is no time to panic. There is no panicking in Christianity. That is not our business. But we should be prepared. I ask you a brief question. Do any of you have you taken out fire insurance on your home? Anybody here have fire insurance? I thought so. Everybody in here should have fire insurance. Are you looking forward to using it? Have you ever had to use it? Do you hope you never have to? Yeah, exactly. But aren't you glad you've got it just in case you need it? Regardless of who wins this election, I want you to understand the reality of what we face. America is printing money at an incredibly rapid pace. We're entering into obligations that we don't have the money to pay for. We are just printing it and printing it and printing it. And at some point in time, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to come back and bite us on the backside. Amen. Give you another warning sign. I'm sure you heard this because it's been publicized by both sides. Senator Biden, after an intelligence briefing at the White House, made the statement about the likelihood of America being challenged within 6 months if Obama is elected president. I've got friends in the Middle East. It's not by a coincidence. I've got Jewish friends in the Middle East, just so there's no misunderstanding there. It is not by accident that there's been an unusual calm right now leading up to the election. But rest assured, the enemy has not gone away. We will be hit again, Lord willing, not on these shores, but it's possible. When I was coming home Friday night, now folks, you're not aware of this. Most people aren't. We just ignore it. Oh, that's nothing. I've still got my car in the driveway. I've got credit on my credit card. I can put gas in the car. I've got some groceries in the refrigerator. I can turn on my television. Life is good. Tomorrow's going to be just like today. Don't you believe it? Coming home from Thomas on Friday night, listening to KTOK, it's the first time I'd noticed it. Homeland Security ran an ad recommending that you have at least 3 days of water and supplies at home just in case of some tragedy happening. Folks, we better be wise enough to have our eyes open and be listening to some of the things that are going on out there. As I said a moment ago, ladies and gentlemen, we do not live in fear, but God has given us considerable warnings. It's time to pay attention. Could these economic trials intensify before the rapture? Absolutely. Could we face a terrorist attack again before the rapture? Absolutely. But if nothing more, do you remember last year's ice storm? Wasn't it nice if you happened to have a generator? And if you happened to have a week's supply of groceries in your refrigerator and in your pantry? Folks, this is just common sense. Let me give you a few things I would like for you to think of and write down if you can. Don't incur unnecessary debt. Don't live off your credit card. Get off of all debt, if at all possible. If you've got a car that you can't afford to drive, then you try to sell it. Don't just give the thing away. I'm not Paul Blair financial advisor. I'm Paul Blair watchdog, pastor, and hoping that you will take use some common sense in evaluating your situation. Get out of all debt that you can. Number two, work hard as unto the Lord. Let me give you some bonuses for that. It says we don't work as men pleasers, but we work as unto the Lord. Hey, when we work, that's a testimony. It's amazing how many of these other football teams that we have played this year, their coaches come over and compliment our boys by how hard they fight and how classy they are. You know what? That's a testimony. And it's important because after football games, we take their team lunches and gospel tracts. So you better have earned their respect before you go over and hand them a gospel tract. But we are to work as unto the Lord. What kind of a testimony are you to your boss if you roll in, you're supposed to be at your desk at 8 o'clock and you're there at 8:05, and you're supposed to work until 5 and you're playing online, what is that single card, solitaire, at 4:30, staring at your watch, waiting to get out of there. And 4:55, you're gone. Guess what happens? Folks, there could be an economic slowdown. I promise you there will be if some yahoo gets in and raises taxes. Amen. Happened in 1933, it'll happen again. But what's going to happen at all those businesses? They're going to need to lay people off. Guess who gets laid off first? The good workers or the poor workers? Make sure. Protect yourself. Make sure you've got a great reputation at your workplace. And you be the best worker at your workplace. Number three, begin or increase your savings. Work extra hours if you can. We're coming into the holiday season. Get a second job. Put away some money. And again, I'm not your financial planner. I'm not telling you go out and sell everything you have and go bury it in the backyard. Absolutely not. That would be stupid. So Dave, don't do that. But diversify. Talk to your financial guy. Make sure that you're balanced. Don't be out here at all risky sorts of things. Have some access to cash is not a bad idea. Make sure around the house you have necessities. Make sure you have toiletries, toilet paper, supplies. Think of not being able to go to the grocery store for 30 days. That's how I'd like you to start thinking. If that ever happens, we're all going to make a run to my mother's house. Mom has about 6 years' supply of toilet paper. She buys it on sale. We've got closets back there and bedrooms that are never used anymore, just full of toilet paper. But let me just say, folks, I mean, don't go out, don't go to Sam's tomorrow with your max out your credit card with big old push carts full of rice and beans. It's not what I'm telling you to do. Just be aware and be thinking about this stuff. And over the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, you know, buy an extra 10 cans of beans. You can buy it for like 60 cents. Buy an extra box of rice. It's nothing. Buy some bottled water or gallons of water. What's the worst thing that can happen? You'll eat it. I promise you, you're going to use the toilet paper. This is just common sense, conservative type stuff. Make sure you've got a full supply of aspirin. Make sure you've got Band-Aids. Think about these types of things. In case the supply lines were cut off, and again, we're not panicking. I'm not trying to invoke that. I'm just trying to get you to use some common sense and be prepared. Instead of waiting to fill your car up whenever it hits empty, start filling it up at a half a tank. By the way, that's better for your car anyway. When you run it down to the very bottom, you start using some. Is this not right, Brother Mark? You start using some of the crappy residue. Do you know there are pastors that actually use the word crappy in the pulpit? I've heard that. I don't know where these guys, they're uneducated boobs. Your pastor's actually, well, never mind. Keep your gas tank filled up, topped off. And again, medicines, toiletries, bottled water, canned foods, non-perishables, things like that. And understand this, ladies and gentlemen, and there's a lot of things here. You can talk to some of our deacons that have studied up on this a little bit. The common atheistic idea is that man is inherently good and basically good. The Bible says no. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our founding fathers believed that. That's why they had checks and balances as government, because they didn't trust each other. We shouldn't trust each other. Good friend of mine that's now the pastor at Windsor Hills, Tom Vineyard, used to be a missionary to the Ivory Coast. When he was down there the first couple of years, he said it was beautiful, it was a wonderful area as he was working down there. But then there came some tight times. There became some rumblings of civil war as Muslims began moving in, trying to, actually they murdered everybody at the police station. It got to be a point where you couldn't go out your door at night. And he said they had to survive at times for some as much as 30 days at a time without being able to get out. And when times get tight, those that don't have will use whatever means necessary to get from those that have. Hey, Brother Paul's a fearman. No, I'm not. I'm just smart. He was attacked one day by a group of Muslim robbers. He didn't have a weapon, and they almost beat him to death. He still has scars in his head where he had staples all over his head, nearly died there in front of his wife and children. Be aware. Make sure and lock your house. Make sure and lock your cars. If you've got an alarm, make sure your alarm is set. Ladies, when you're walking out in the parking lot to your car, if you're by yourself, make sure you have your cell phone. You're ready to dial. You look underneath your car as you're walking. As you get close to your car, you look in the back seat of your car. If you're out in some distant part of the parking lot and there's nobody there but you and one other car, then you turn around and go back inside, and you don't go out until somebody can go out with you. If your car is parked over next to some van, you keep your eyes open, because that's how a lot of abductions happen. They'll whip the door back and drag you in and take off. We live in a very evil, wicked world. There are bad people out there, and you need to be aware of it. The Bible says a strong man armed keeps his house. Third point and final, this will be briefer. So we can trust God's correction, we can trust God's ways, and we can also trust God's purpose. After Joshua had died, Israel went through a period where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There were periods where when Joshua died, they were spiritual people. Over time, they forgot God. They apostatized. God brought judgment upon them. They repented. They hit their knees, turned back to God, and came full circle all the way back to God. Recognize that God's purpose, God's plan, is correction and restoration. God had warned the children of Israel before they ever went into the promised land. Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 8, he said, "You all beware, I'm giving you this land. But when you get there, things are going to be going well, and you're going to think you've done all this on your own, and you're going to forget about me. And when that happens, look out." Folks, that's where we are in America today. We have been so successful, we have been so prosperous, that we are so arrogant, we think we've done it ourselves. There is no God. It's all evolution. Aren't we Americans just the brightest bunch that ever came down the pike? Folks, that's not the case. God will get our attention. God will correct. God's hope is restoration. That is His purpose. There's a method in there, 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's as clear as day in the Scripture. I prayed it a while ago. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, and only then, and absolutely only then, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God's ultimate purpose one of these days will be the resolution of all things and the establishment of Christ's throne in Jerusalem. Don't be surprised. You know what's coming. There will be a war that breaks out in the Middle East that will involve Iran and Russia attacking Israel. It's going to happen. The Jews know it's going to happen. Why? Because Ezekiel 38 and 39 says it's going to happen. And it's never happened before. And through miraculous intervention, either through another nation or just God's work, which He has done it before, no way the Jews should have been able to sustain their independence when they were attacked by five Arab nations in 1948, a fledgling people with 20,000 soldiers. In fact, not even soldiers. They were had just migrated there, many of them, after getting out of concentration camps in Germany. Yet somehow they won. You know why? God's on their side. But that is going to launch a cry for peace. There will be a covenant, a seven-year treaty that's either reaffirmed or established at that point in time, according to Daniel chapter 9. The Christians will be taken before that covenant is signed. As this man that enforces the covenant, the Scripture calls the Antichrist. Don't picture him as an Antichrist. Picture him as some real, smooth, charismatic world leader that's everything to all people. They can get the world to follow him. I know that's really hard for us to imagine these days. Things will get increasingly worse, much like birth pains. Start out 20 minutes apart, 15 minutes apart, so on and so forth, until critical time of delivery. At the midst of this tribulation period, after the temple has been rebuilt, he will say, "Worship me or die." that point in time, Jesus said, that's a time of such tribulation, such as has never been seen on planet Earth. Hey, the 12 million slaughtered in Hitler's ovens don't compare. The 60 million slaughtered in Stalin's Russia won't compare. The 100 million or whatever slaughtered under Chairman Mao won't compare. The killing fields in Cambodia won't compare. Jesus said there will be a time of great tribulation such as this world has never seen. Now you do the math. If we have some 6 billion people on planet Earth, and let's say, and I hope it's this high, let's say that 1 billion people are actually born-again believers. And as the bridegroom comes for his bride, is taken out of here and left 5 billion on earth. The numbers, mathematically, if you go through and you see how many are taken, how many are taken, how many are taken, there could very easily be as many as 3.5 billion people slaughtered over the course of 7 years. Let that sink in for a minute. At the end, in the last great rebellion, as the Jews have always been the problem, just ask any Palestinian or any replacement theology guy. As the world comes together to eliminate the Jews, as is talked about in Joel chapter 3, as is talked about in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, where Jerusalem is a cup of trembling, a rock on a fence, a stone of stumbling, and the nations of the world will come down in a last great effort, and it looks like they will have succeeded. Revelation chapter 19, Jude also recounts this. At that moment, when the Jews cannot look north for help or south for help or east for wealth or west for help. In fact, they're going to be invaded from all sides. And there's even going to be a demonic invasion. There's only one way to look. Guess who shows up? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Don't you know that this same Jesus shall come again in like manner as you've seen him ascend? And just where he took off from the Mount of Olives, the Scripture says that as lightning comes from the east and goeth to the west, he's going to come again, leading his host, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. He will set foot on the Mount of Olives, and he will destroy the enemies of Israel. And he will literally establish his kingdom on planet Earth in fulfillment to all the Old Testament Scripture. And then there will be peace on earth. It's then that the Prince of Peace, promised in Isaiah 9:7, will rule and reign. It's then that they will beat their swords into plowshares and into pruning hooks. It's then that the wolf will lie down with the lamb and dine together. You may see a wolf and a lamb dining together these days, but the lamb's not usually enjoying it. But in the millennium, they will be able to dine together. The Word of God has spoken. It will be true. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, prior to this, you shall hear, listen to me, I'm almost done, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Are we troubled? Oh, absolutely not. Are we panicking? Absolutely not. We're just smart enough to recognize the signs of the times that he's clearly given to us. And for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows is birth pains. It's the beginning of these birth pains that will take place on planet Earth. And again, as I said a little while ago, the wrath of the Lamb won't be poured out fully until the bride of the Lamb is taken for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. But it will get testy before then. Are you prepared? And the most important way that you can be prepared is this. When the Lamb comes and calls for his bride, will you be gone? You can be. It's not because you're a good person. None of us qualify. It's not because you're an American and we have in God we trust on our money. That doesn't do it. It's not because you do a lot of good works, because none of us are perfect. It's not because your great-great-grandfather on your mother's side was a Baptist preacher. Doesn't count, sorry. Only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Wonderful thing is at this point in time, as they came to arrest Jesus, and Peter started to draw out his sword and defend, and Jesus said, no, it's not that time yet. He didn't say, throw your sword away. He said, put it back where it belongs. Put that back in its sheath. Folks, right now, it's not like the Muslims do. Repent or die. Accept Jesus or we're going to kill you. The love of Christ is freely extended and offered to every person on planet Earth. And Jesus, as a perfect gentleman, knocks on the door of your heart saying, don't you realize that I love you? Don't you realize that I've paid every sin? I've paid for every sin that you've ever committed? Don't you realize you can live with me forever, never to be separated? First in my Father's house and then throughout all eternity? But I'll not force my way in. You have to invite me in. But please, 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 you don't realize how bad hell is. Hell is so bad that I left my home in heaven and became a man so I could die for you. You don't realize how awful it is. You don't realize how awful the tribulation is going to be. You don't realize how awful the lake of fire is going to be. Please, please, let me come in. Let me come in. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I won't open it. I'll just knock. You have to invite him in. Most important preparation you'll ever make is inviting Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. And he promises that whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. And he's in the promise-keeping business, folks. You can rest on the Word of God. We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.